The sangha today is the 12th of January 2012. We are in our Pamlet in Plum Village during our winter retreat. This morning, instead of sitting meditation before the Dhamma talk, we decide to have a walking meditation because the morning is so beautiful. In Plum Village, we have the song, "We come up this morning, I see the sky is so blue, and I join my palm to thank for that beautiful 24 hours to be for me to live deeply, to enjoy deeply my 24-hour, brand new 24-hour. Waking up this morning, I see the blue sky. I join my palm to thank how wonderful that I have 24 hours to live. If I know to live like that, we try to touch what is positive in us, and then we continue to be happy all day long. If we have one negative event and 88 positive event, but we only focus our attention on that negative event and we suffer, and then we focus another negative event and we suffer, and we have 24 hours of suffering. And we have 24 hours to live. And the nature is so wonderful, but the nature is always generous to give to us equally. The nature offers to us equally on its beauty, but we are not equal. We only focus on the negative and the bad thing, and we complain and we complain and we complain. And why? There are others who are more wise. They focus what is still good, and they enjoy, and they take good care of the good thing, and try to change in their ability to change, to mend what is still not good. And so this person who know how to touch what is positive, wonderful, and try gently to heal the not good thing, and we see that person is very have the ability to be happy. So you look at everyone, you know that she or he has that ability or not. The little prince Hansen. The little prince said, try to be happy. I missed that point. And we all are children who only destroy, spend on the bad. It means we don't know how to treasure what we have. The nature offers to us a lot of wonderful things, but we spend our time like the one who expends a lot of money without looking deeply, without appreciating. So we are someone who behave like a poor beggar. We spend money in a very wrong way. It means we spend our time in the wrong way in order to cause suffering to ourselves, to cause suffering to other people around us. And if we know how to live deeply and we touch what is still positive, wonderful, to be happy right away, and then try to mend, to correct a little bit here, a little bit by bit, the negative thing. In Plum Village, we also have another song, like, every moment that we are alive is a precious gift of the universe. Every minute that we are still alive is a precious gift. But we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of with the conscious breathing, we are what happened, and we see that we are extremely wealthy with all the the positive thing we have. Every minute is a treasure. Every minute for us to be allowed to live is a treasure. And we only need to have a conscious breathing to be aware what happened, and then we behave like a wealthy person. So in the Lotus Sutra, the Buddha also said that there are we, all human beings, we spend our time like a poor beggar, because we always complain and we beg for happiness, that and why we have a lot of happiness around, we don't try to see, look deeply, to touch, to see and to enjoy on this treasure you have. Those of you who are very wealthy like that, to have good eyes, good ear, nose, good body, good health, and then please stop to be a poor beggar of happiness. In the Lotus Sutra, the Buddha said that you all are very wealthy person, but you always behave like a poor beggar. And in the story, there is a father, rich father, who gave a treasure, a diamond, to the jacket of the young man, because he always spend money without mindfulness, and the father knows that one day he will be very poor, and because of that, the father sued the hidden jewel in the jacket of the boy and said that you can spend all your money, but don't sell that jacket. And so that man sell own thing, become very poor beggar. He didn't know that there is a diamond in his jacket. And the Buddha said that we all are like that man. We spend our time on complaining and suffering. We don't know that we have a diamond in our jacket. And to be deep, to recognize all the value of this life, and you can live in a beautiful way. Happiness is something need to be produced. We need to train yourself to be happy. And we have to remember that happiness is made of element which is not happy. Like suffering. Suffering is an element who can help you to be happier. Those who know how to live deeply their life, they will not suffer. It doesn't mean they don't have difficulties, they have. But they take care of the good thing, wonderful thing, and then they try to focus on many wonderful things, and after that they try to mend, to correct, to heal, gently, skillfully, what is wrong. Yeah. But you need to be strong first with all the condition of happiness that we have in order to correct, to heal what is wrong, not right, what is not right. The fifth breath, the fifth exercise, in the 16th exercise on breathing, the fifth exercise, the Buddha recommend that we need to recognize all the happy condition existing in us. And so what we call producing happiness, it means you sit there quietly, go to your in-breath and out-breath to be in the clarity of your mind. You look deeply. What are the available conditions for you to be happy? And then you organize your life. And the Buddha and the Dalai Lama have written a book about the art of happiness. But I don't know if the Dalai Lama have said so or not. But in the 16 exercises offered by the Buddha, for the beginners, very beginners, and very those who practice for 20 years, they are still very useful. And so one of the exercises, the fifth exercise, is to recognize on the wonderful condition you still have, touching your happiness. And the sixth in also your peace and your joy and your happiness. But the seven and the eight, only that the seven is you recognize what is not right at all. And so the Buddha always asks you to recognize what is positive first in order for you to be strong. And after that, at the seven, you recognize what is not right. Maybe the Dalai Lama need to write another book about the happiness. And maybe he has to write a book, The Art of Suffering. If we know how to know to look at the suffering and find a way, and then the suffering can be very happy. Like you know how to take care of garbage in order to have good compost. Now I have, if I have 3 months of winter retreat without doing anything, I will write a book about the heart of suffering and happiness. Know how to take good care of our suffering, and then I can produce a lot of happiness. So suffering and happiness are one. And how you can handle your suffering in a skillful way, and then you will be very happy. It's not difficult at all. Producing happiness is not difficult. And recognize the suffering and create happiness is not difficult. For instance, this morning, we walked together in order to be in touch with the beautiful morning. The beautiful morning where we have the sun is about to rise, but the moon is still there. So wonderful. And the atmosphere is so, the landscape is so beautiful. I don't know if it's in a fairy world is as beautiful as this one, but here is really beautiful. If the pure land is, I think that it could be like that. If the kingdom of God is beautiful, it could be like that, not more. And if you have more freedom in your mind, and you can be in touch with all this wonder of life at every moment, it's not during our walking meditation. But since you wake up, you put your clothes, you go out, you can be in touch right away and you're happy. And you are in touch with what is happy, wonderful, not only the morning, but your health is not too bad. It's allowed you to walk properly. And then this morning when I woke up and I opened my door, I see that the moon is still beautiful, very bright on the sky. And I see is the moon was rising on the bell tower. If you have a camera, I'm sure that you will take a photo of that. The moon is there for us. It's there for us. But we are not aware of that wonderful presence. If we have more freedom, a little bit of freedom, you can see the moon, look at the moon and say that, thank you for being there. I'm aware of your wonderful presence. And the moon is only one. There's many other wonderful things. The fog, the little frost on the leaves, so beautiful. And 5 o'clock in the morning, wake up, you go out, it's so beautiful. Everything is very alive, very wonderful. It's very sacred. Lentian, sacred. If we have more freedom, and then we can be in touch with all these things. And deep inside yourself, you feel a great gratitude. You have a deep thanks to all these things. And we can recite the second mantra in Plum Village. Thank you for your wonderful presence. I'm so happy that you are there. So you are happy that you are there, your beloved one. But I'm happy that you are there, the moon, that wonderful morning. I'm so happy that you are there, the wonderful morning. I'm so happy that you are there, the beautiful sunrise. What we search for on our life is so many wonderful life, things like that. If you have a little bit of mindfulness and you see that everything, you look deep and you see so many wonderful things around you, inside of you, outside of you. And if you have no mindfulness, not awareness, and then if you are not aware of that, then your body is not exist either. Your body is the coming together with all the universe for you to manifest in this body. When you do walking meditation, you can see a beautiful flower that leaves is a representative of the wonders of life of the universe. And you can bow to the flower, to that beautiful leaf, and to your whole body, because you are a wonderful manifestation of the whole universe too. So there is a Vietnamese poet who he walked around for that dahlia, and there is a dahlia opening on next to the wall of his house, but he never paid attention. But this day, suddenly, he dropped all the worries and all the thinking, and he was in touch with the dahlia, the little dahlia, very, very beautiful. And the first time he sees such a beautiful flower, the flower is there, but he was not there, so he could not recognize it. So that morning he recognized a wonderful present of the flower. And so you can find many wonderful so-called dahlia. It could be daffodil, it could be daisies, all are there for you to discover. I know that poet, Wat Thoai, when I was at the 20th at my age, and he was also at that age. But he is a very beautiful poet. But I knew that poet. And he made many poems in order to be published and can be survived, sent to the royalty. So I think that dahlia flower, that this short poem that Wat Thoai wrote, he didn't publish during his being alive. But when he passed away, only that people discover a number of little poems like that. Đứng yên ngoài hàng rào bên mình, you stand silently next to the fence. You offer us your wonderful smile. You, it means the dahlia, the little dahlia. lặng nhìn em kinh ngạc. I look at you amazingly. You sit quietly by the fence, silently, but you offer your wonderful smile. I am caught by surprise. I suddenly hear the eternal song that you are singing to us. And I bow my head in gratitude, in reverence. I bow to the little flower. This little flower is one of many wonders of the universe. But because we have no freedom, our mind is caught by our worries, our anxiety, our anger, our irritation. So we are not free. And so that day, by which merit he has, and then suddenly he sees that wonderful smile of that little flower by the fence. And the flower was singing an eternal song. So wonderful. Lắng nhìn em, I'm silent and look at you amazingly, surprising. And I listen to your song, and your song is really an eternal song. But the universe is full of all these eternal presence of, and the universe is singing its eternal song every second for you. All these wonderful things are there for us, but because we have no freedom, and so we cannot see it. And we need to go far away, buy a ticket to go so far in order to discover all these wonderful things. But with mindfulness, you don't need to go anywhere. Everything very simple is look like ordinary, but you look deep and you discover the eternal song of all these presence. And you see that the flower is wonderful, but you yourself is also wonderful. Your body is wonderful. And your mind in mindfulness is wonderful. And then you produce happiness. You produce happiness by your being aware and look deep and to realize that every single thing is offering the eternal song for you. This morning, I recite my second mantra to the moon. I know that you are there and I'm so happy. You is the moon in the morning, early morning. And I step on the Mother Earth, and I also recite the second mantra. Oh, I am aware that you are there supporting me, Mother Earth. I am so happy. Every step I feel that I am with Mother Earth. Every step I feel that you are in me, Mother Earth. And you are in touch with your body. You are in touch with the earth. Every day. You can be in touch with your being, with the ground of your being, the earth. And if the universe, the cosmos is present for you, you also need to be present for the cosmos. That wonderful flower is help you to remind that you can be have that wonderful moment deeply in touch with many wonders. That wonders, the flower is one wonders. But it's a chance for you to be in touch with many other wonders. We usually despise our body. Sometimes we hate our body. But your body is a beauty. Your body is a wonderful presence too. Instead of you must also kneel down and bow to your own body. Because your own body is also a treasure, is really a wonderful presence coming from the whole universe and from many lineage, many roots you have. And this body is not so bad. It's so wonderful. It's not less than that wonderful eternal flower that flower which sang is a wonderful song. So you too, you have to be aware of your wonderful presence. Then to your presence, there is a cosmos, the presence of the cosmos. The presence of the cosmos is there because we are there. The cosmos is made with many elements of the cosmos which make the presence of the cosmos, and you are one, wonderful one. And the second mantra is, I know that you are there, and so happy. And so that I know that you are there. It could be your beloved daughter or son, it could be your beloved partner, but it's beloved flower, little flower, that sun ray, sunshine ray. It could be that wonderful leaf, and is your body is a wonderful presence. You are a wonder of life. Everything is wonderful. I practice the first mantra. The first mantra. I'm here for you. I'm here for you is the first mantra. And you can recite the first mantra and the second mantra, and then you can do everything with the first and the second mantra. I'm here for you. Mom, I'm here for you. My darling, I'm here for you. The wonderful presence of others is also very important for your life, but you feel that it's ordinary. You don't pay attention until you lose it. So recognize her presence, his presence. Recognize that presence of the flower and the liberty you have. And when you are happy, you are fresh, and then you can recognize that you are also a wonder of life. And when you are a wonder of life, and then you look at the person you love, you say that, darling, I'm here for you. And you are wonder of the universe. In summary, the happiness is made of everything is awareness, looking deeply. It's also even the negative thing, the suffering also contribute to your happiness too. When you have something to eat, you are not afraid to be hungry. And then You remember that this time when you have no money at all, no way to have anything, loss, and now you have your situation is not too bad. So that is tends to remembering the moment where you are, you suffer a lot, and then you enjoy this very moment. But this very moment, you say that, oh, it's so ordinary, there's nothing exciting. And so you are lost in suffering, but you say that, wow, this moment is worse, where I have nothing, nobody understood me, I'm so lost. And so with that background, you are happier with this situation. You know, usually we have no ability to recognize our suffering. We used to run away, not to run out, run far from your suffering. You don't want to remember your suffering, and you want to cover up the suffering by other occupation. But here we have to train to look at the moment where we suffer, we are lost, we have no one to understand us, and another to enjoy this very moment. Producing happiness and take good care of the suffering are two but are one. When you take good care of your suffering, you have happiness. Or if you produce happiness, it's the same, then you take good care of your suffering. If you know how to produce happiness, and then you can make the suffering, the difficulty in you, you know, not that difficulty will not occupy so important place, and you know how to handle with skillfulness that suffering, that difficulties. Our presence is a kind of energy, and that energy have the our presence is a kind of energy, and that energy will embrace our suffering, accept our suffering, and then allow our suffering have a chance to rest and to be transformed. So we have to take, in us there is a pain, a despair, an anger. Don't run away. You must, hello, my little anger, my little fear. I know that you are there. I accept as you are. You recognize it, your suffering. Instead of running away, you take good care of her, your anger. Take care like you have a cat who is wounded. Then you take good care of the wounded cat. Or you take good care of the wonderful, the wounds baby that she get a little wound. And then you try to take good care. So it's the same for your suffering. You take good care. Take good care. You accept. Yes, I'm lost. That is the third mantra. Darling, I know that you suffer, and so I'm here for you. It means you don't know what to help him, what to help her. But the fact that you say that, I know that you have many difficulties, you are suffering, but I'm here for you, I'm here for you. I know that you have difficulty, I'm here for you to support you. Anything I can help, please tell me. So kind of the third mantra is mean, you don't know how to resolve the suffering of others, but you try your best to offer your presence and your support. And so the suffering of the other person will reduce, will be reduced a lot. So first mantra, you try to be there for you and for others. Second mantra, you recognize the presence of others. The third one, you know that other have suffering. You cannot do anything, but you try to be there for him or for her. And with your presence and your support, the other person will help. We feel tremendously relieved. And these four mantras have the roots in the 16 exercise. The fourth mantra that you suffer because of the person, and you must have a courage to tell him and her in a very loving way, but darling, I suffer, please help. I suffer because of you, but you say in a very nice voice, I am suffering, please help. Well, we can elaborate later on, but Thay explained to us several times, those of you who know the teaching, you know very well these four mantra, and these four mantra is Thay want to share that he took this mantra, he elaborated this mantra from the 16 exercise offered by the Buddha. When somebody make you hurt, and you have the tendency to punish him or her, you don't want to look at her or him, you don't want to punish him or her, and you also want to show to him or her that we don't need them, even without them you are still survive. And that behavior is very Chinese for Thay. You have to train the fourth mantra. It means I'm suffering. It means because of you. But I'm suffering, please help. So in a very nice way, instead of punishing him, not look at him, instead of punishing her by killing yourself, you want to show that without them, without that person who caused suffering to you, you can survive very well. So that is not the correct behavior. And sometimes the other person that, darling, what happened to you? You look not very happy. And then you say, no, I'm not unhappy at all. I'm okay. I'm all right. You hide your suffering. You don't want him to know. You don't want her to know. And if he tried to approach you, say that, leave me alone. Yeah, and sometimes you are a child and your mom tried to approach you, say, oh, mom, leave me alone. Because your husband knows that he feels that he has done something wrong and he wants to approach you, and you say, no, leave me alone. But the practice is to do the contrary. You have to tell him nicely that I suffer, please help. I suffer because of you, please help. So don't punish. Sometimes we do not shout at each other, but it's also a kind of retaliation by saying that I don't need you, okay? Without you, I still survive. So the fourth mantra is, when you have a suffering, and you know, and you have a difficulties, and you know that that difficulty, that suffering is caused by other person, you have to come to other person, and you tell kindly, gently, I suffer, please help. So when you can utter that sentence, please help, I suffer, please help. And then you feel relief a bit. Instead of punishing, you call for help. to other person, because he is your beloved one, she is your beloved one. Why you want to finish? And so if you can call for help, you can utter that sentence, I suffer, please help. If you can utter that sentence, it's already you feel relief. So helping in which way? In which way? And then you can gently explain why, how could you can behave in such a way to me? And if you can explain the suffering in a very loving way like that, the other person have to change. The other person have said something, have done something very unskillfully who make you suffer a lot. And you want him or her to explain why he did so. But if you go in an aggressive way, he will not explain, and then he will shut him up and he go away. And the communication will be broken. So you have to come lovingly. Darling, I am suffering. Please help. How could that things can happen like that? Have you done that? Why did you do like that? It break my heart in a very loving way. So that is one of the way to take good care of the suffering wonderfully. Sometimes it happens like that. You have some suffering, and that suffering have been caused by the person you trust the most, the person you love the most. And then you have to practice. Usually we want to show him or her that you don't need help. A kind of excluding him or her is not good. Sometimes we go to our room, we lock our room, and we cry by ourselves alone. But when you go out, you look fresh and you say that you pretend that you don't care for him or for her. That is not a good practice. Instead of suffering by ourselves alone, you can close your room and breathe and get some clarity of your mind and calm yourself. But then after that, you have to open the room and come to him or to her and say gently, lovingly, but questioning him in a very, very loving way. How could you did like that? How good that you can do like that to me? Is that true? And so on. And I wish to hear why you behave in such a way. But the fifth mantra, that is the fourth, it was the fourth round of the fifth. The fifth is very easy. Here is a wonderful moment, fifth mantra. This is a wonderful moment. Any moment is a wonderful moment. And in Plum Village, and if we can sit together, we look at each other and we say that this is a wonderful moment. Before we eat, or before we drink tea, and we look at each other and we utter the fifth mantra, this is a wonderful moment. And we are still alive. The other person are still alive. They do not go far away. We are all together, sitting, eating together. And then we took it, usually moment being together, we took it for granted until we are forced to be separate far away. And then you miss and you regret that during the moment where you are with him or with her. And with this Sangha or this family, you took it for granted. And so every moment that you are, don't take it for granted. every moment sitting here, listen to the Dharma talk is also a wonderful moment. Yeah. The people around you is coming from many corner of planet is a wonderful moment. Yeah. The person who live under the roof of you, they are those who pass away, but they are still alive people. So it's a wonderful moment. Having a lunch together is a wonderful moment. The morning, like the morning of this morning, is a wonderful moment, a wonderful morning. And every one of us have that ability that to see that this morning is really a wonderful moment, wonderful morning. And if we allow our fear, our irritation, our worries occupy your mind all the morning, is really a lost. But the fifth mantra, this is a happy moment, is not coming from kind of auto-suggestion. It's not from auto-suggestion. But you really look deep and you see that, oh, it's wonderful. Finally, I come to Plum Village. It's a lot of arrangement in order to be able to come here. A lot of things, condition, favorable condition for me to be here. And so, and a lot of condition, favorable condition for me to be with him or with her, of this family, or this meeting and so on. So if you look deep like that, you are more happiness than you can handle. So the fifth mantra, you can do it. We can ask, this one moment, is that the moment of happiness? Yes. You have to wonder at each moment, you know, here is a wonderful moment. And then you listen to your answer. Yes, yes. It's only a few seconds. Then you have the ability to recognize on the existing happiness in you. And when you recognize on this condition of happiness, and then you are really happy. With mindfulness, you are happy. But without mindfulness, even you are living 24 hours on happiness, but you are not aware, you are not happy at all. But with mindfulness, look deeper, touch what is still positive and happy. Like when you have a toothache, and if it's at the weekend day, and then you have a toothache and you know that, oh, I have to wait until Monday. So 2 days of toothache is terrible. Yeah. So in the moment where you are suffering of the toothache and you say that, oh, that is a wonderful moment. No, when you have a moment of toothache, you say that those who have no toothache is the person who are happiest on earth because you have a bad toothache. But now you don't have any toothache. Are you happy? No. The well-being. I'm still here. Every of us have the well-being condition. There's some who are not very well-being, but many others are well-being condition for you. Like your eyes are still in good condition. You can see all the form and color. And your ear is not deaf yet, so you can hear all the sound. And your tongue is still taste. and your nose is, you still smell. And then your leg, you can walk, you can run. Your hand, so wonderful. So there is so many wonderful conditions for you. The well-being is exists here and now. Don't allow a few unhappy conditions to occupy the whole atmosphere of happiness in you. Your eyes in good condition, your ear in good condition, your heart in good condition, so on. But it's only one condition, that something not very well in your liver, and then you lost all the happiness. No, you have to be happy for having all the good condition in other part of your body. But we try our best to mend what is not good in our liver. So the fifth mantra is, when we sit together with the person, and you say that, dear one, do you believe that now is the happiest moment of our life? It's going to be a sister in the Dharma. It's a brother in the Dharma. It's the happiest moment. But before that, we have some worries, and we are not happy. But when you ask that question, even nothing has been changed, but you have happiness right away. Because this question help you to be alert, to be awake, and to see more profoundly things, situation. And so you can practice. You can practice the four mantra, the five mantra, all day long. And this world is okay, and then you are happy right away. But before that, you are not happy. And this morning, for instance, before having breakfast, and you put the piece of bread on the yogurt, and when you are aware that, I'm still with teeth to chew my bread, and to have good tongue to taste my yogurt, and then not so bad, and so happy right away. Nothing is changed, there is no more food, but you just stop, look deeper the situation, and you feel happy. The ability of happiness is the most precious ability of a person. Among us, there is a number of brothers and sisters who always know how to handle her happiness and have the happy. And she or he never complain, do not dream to be a big personality, do not dream anything, just to be happy with a piece of bread, just to be happy with a sip of tea, just to be happy with listen to the Dharma talk, just to be happy when we walk. And that is a, if you train yourself, you are already a wonderful person. In Buddhism, there is three kind of feeling, unpleasant feeling, painful feeling, and that is one variety, one. And the second is pleasant feeling. And then the third one is neutral feeling. It's not pleasant, not unpleasant. It's neutral, but normally everyone feel that they have a lot of neutral feeling, a few pleasant feeling, a few unpleasant feeling. But the practice is you look deeply into your neutral, so-called neutral feeling, and you see that is very pleasant feeling. But if you look deeply to so-called neutral feeling, but it could be the the starting point of unpleasant feeling later on. So the mindfulness is very important for you to look deeply at the neutral feeling, like the painful feeling. Sometimes is born from a wrong perception. A feeling, an unpleasant feeling, could have the roots in your body or in the your mind. Your suffering could come from your body, or your suffering could be some from your mind. For instance, you have pain in your back, a lot of muscle pain. That is a painful feeling, unpleasant feeling. But it depends on the way you look at things. That if the way you look, that unpleasant feeling can be very unpleasant or can be very light. It depends on your way of looking. If you lift up, it's the same feeling, it's the same situation. But if you lift up your view, you say that it's unpleasant, but the way you look at it is different than those who look at the same event but complain and exaggerate a bit and say, and then she or he suffer quite a lot. Why? It's the same situation, but you look with a lighter feeling, lighter view, and then you will be different. So we can live with that unpleasant feeling. For instance, we have my right shoulder over pain, and then my right shoulder have pain for more than, over than 1 year already, but I'm smiling to my shoulder without complaining. I said that, and so when I make a gymnastic movement, like, then I can feel that presence. But the way I handle my pain in my shoulder in a very light way, so I do not suffer. I can live peacefully with the pain on my shoulder more than 1 year already. Yeah, but it's okay. I don't allow this painful feeling be obsessive of my life. Yeah, in the Buddha, he did say, when you have received an arrow, you are hit by an arrow, and you have a pain. But if you allow another arrow hit at the same wound and still very strong, and it will be your wounded, your hurt will be not double, but 10 times, 20 times, 30 times. It's the same for your pain. If you have a very bad situation even happened to your life, and that you have one arrow. But if you complain that why me, etc., because of she is like that, so I have that pain. And so if you complain like that, it's like you receive not one arrow, one arrow, A-R-R-O-W. So like you receive not one arrow, but you receive many, many arrows. And sometimes it's not a real pain, but you have an illusory illusion to think that is a pain. Like last week, we spoke about that already. That is pain, that is suffering, or it's not suffering, it's not an objective, it's not an objective situation. It depends on your way of looking. You can look in the other way, it's very painful, but if you look in a different way, it will be much less painful. this thing. You think that is a suffering. That is not a reality, objective reality. It's a way that you look that is become suffering. This thing you call joy. But it's not exactly joy. It depends on your way of looking, and then it can be a joy or a suffering. Among the monastics, some monastics were not very successful in her or his practice, cannot recognize her happiness. To be a monastic, you have a lot of freedom. However, some of us, some monastic feel that, oh, you lose all this freedom, you lose that freedom. And then, like, every day you have 2 times or 3 times to do sitting meditation. And during sitting meditation, you have a lot of freedom. Nobody can call you. Nobody can ask you to do something. You have free to sit without doing anything. Enjoy the present moment. But there are those of us who say, again, it's sitting meditation. And all day long we do sitting meditation a lot. And then we complain that this sitting meditation is very bad. You lose all your liberty to do, have to go to each meditation. So that is a way that you see things. But other monastics, they feel very happy when they see, oh, I have time for sitting meditation. Oh, it's time for walking meditation. Oh, it's time for doing, and they enjoy everything. Mm-hmm. So it depends on your way. You are both 2 monastics, but 1 monastic see things like that, and she's always happy. Other monastics see things complaining, why you have to do that? Why I lose all my liberty to become here, to come here? And so you can disrobe, and then outside you have a lot of liberty. You can eat everything. You can do everything you like. And then that is happiness outdoor, to be a monastic nun. And so after disrobing and go out for 1 year, 2 years, you see that, oh, it's not. And then they want to become monastic again. In our community, there is few like that. They practice for 1 year, a few months, they disrobe, and then they disrobe for 1 year and they ask to be in monastic again. And when you go out and we say that, oh, he's not happy at all. And you miss so much life in the Sangha. And so, this is happiness or suffering. It depends on you. So suffering or happiness is not an objective reality. It depends on your way of looking, your way of perceiving. So practicing is in order to use your mindfulness, to use your conscious breath, bring your mind back to your breathing, stop to think, stop to be dispersed, more concentrate, touch more happiness, touch more clarity of your mind, and look back again things in a deeper way, and then even you don't do anything, you do not try to fix anything, but you have more peace. Go back to your conscious breathing. Stop being dispersed, to think, to be dispersed for a while. You have more peace. And then you look back at the situation, you will see differently. And so when you can go back to your in-breath and out-breath, and start to be dispersed, touch your peace, touch more clarity in your mind, and then you will see that, oh, that is small jealousy, it's not so important. Oh, that is, so you, you accept quite well the situation. There's nothing to be complained. And so you need, when you feel hurt, you feel suffering, go back to your in-breath and out-breath and stop thinking and stop to be useful for a while in order to have some clarity of your mind. And then you look back at the situation to see if it's really suffering, is really pain or not. So that form and right, repeat again, darling, I'm here for you. It means you restore your clarity of your mind, the peace of you. I'm here for you. That's the first mantra. The second mantra is, I'm so happy that you are there. You could be the sunrise. You could be the sun ray. You could be the beautiful forest. You could be that beloved person that you care for. Darling, I'm so happy with your presence. I'm so happy that you are there. So the third mantra, darling, I know that you are suffering, and that is why I'm here for you. Even I do not know how to handle, to help you, but I'm here for you. I'm totally in support of you. And then the third one, you don't know, but you have to be there for that person. And then the fourth. No, I do not go to the fourth yet. He said that, thus, I know that you are suffering and I'm here for you. So you could be Mother Earth, and you know that Mother Earth is suffering and you cannot do anything yet. But you can say, Mother Earth, I know that you are suffering. That is why I'm here for you. And if you do like that, and then you know how to do and not to do. And Mother Earth is not an object outside of us. In each of us, we have Mother Earth in each of us. In each of us, we have Earth. And the fourth mantra is, if you can practice this, it can relieve your suffering right away. Darling, I suffer, please help. So he make you suffer. He make you suffer, she make you suffer. But you must practice to be peace, to be loving, and then after that you call him and you call her and you say that, darling, I'm suffering, please help. Even if she's not there, he's not there, you can call. But before calling, you must be very loving, very peaceful. And then you tell him in a loving way, tell her in a loving way, I'm suffering, please help. Don't complain, don't reproach, don't blame. But you only say that, I'm suffering because of your behavior, please help. And in a very loving way. But before calling, before uttering a mantra, it means body, mind, oneness, very peaceful and very profound. Before you utter such a sentence called mantra. Mantra means when your body and your mind are one and you are very peaceful and very profound, that you utter the first mantra, the second or the third, and especially the fourth is difficult. You only need to ask without doing anything, not judging, not condemning, not complaining. Just be peace, be oneness of body and mind, peaceful and deep, and ask in a loving way, why could you do like that? This make me suffer. So now we study the sutra. Thank you. his moment of happiness. He's just about to pour tea for himself. It's a happy moment. Oh, they give a sentence for us. Low Hamlet differently from other Hamlet. Should we tell Rowlet or something? It's for Low Hamlet, is it? Should we? Any Low Hamlet sister? Yeah. Because of Hoi Ngang Sao, the name of the meditation hall in Low Hamlet. The Gatha number 34. That one that people call people treasure. I mean the Bhutan is storage. Store. Store. I got them. The ability to storage on the living experience will store in your mind is like the hard disk of the computer. It means all the information you can store in that. And that part of your mind called storage of your on the living experience when you are young, old, and the storage of on the living experience of your previous generation of your ancestor too. So that is the storage. And that storage have the ability learn and handle on this story, on the living experience condensed into kind of seed. And they have the ability to process, to change, to concoction. It means that they receive and they try to mix up and they do it and they process. But they are different from the hard disk of the computer, because hard disk just storage. But here, it's not only they are there, they can store, but they can, on the processes of changing in the way it depends on the other seat around. For instance, when you learn to drive the car, so you learn your mentor to learn the drive the car. You have to look at it in this way. You have to use your mind consciousness, in order to learn from the teacher and to learn from what to do, what not to do, etc. So the first day of learning to be trained for driving a car, you are on the processing. But when you learn, it's on what you learn are on the processing. It's entering your store consciousness, but in the way of processing too. So more you drive the car, more you have on the processing going on. And one day things happen, tends to your store consciousness and the processing, you know how to handle the situation with skillfulness. So the store consciousness is not only storing, but is learned in the process to change, to mute, to arrange. So when you can drive the car, you are used to drive a car. Sometimes you don't drive the car with your mind consciousness, but you drive your car with your store consciousness more. You are driving, you think of that, you think of other things, you talk to people, and you only drive with your store consciousness. So your mind is not on the driving. But so when you drive, is your drive with your store consciousness. But even that, there is another car who go in another direction, you know how to handle. And the store consciousness know how to handle very well. Because the storage, your store consciousness have gone to a process to learn everything you had, and on the process to receive other things. And so the store consciousness reacts so well. If you invite your mind consciousness to come, maybe it's too late. So some people call then other name like background consciousness. But in the term of consumption, mind consciousness spend a lot of energy, but store consciousness do not spend a lot of energy. When you write something, you consume a lot of energy of your mind consciousness. Glucose and many other things, and your store consciousness spend very little. Your store consciousness spend very little. And mind consciousness is the child who expend a lot of money, who spend a lot of money. People enfant prodigue is a child who spend a lot of money. And then sometimes you have some worries and you think and you're thinking. And one night, all your hair become white. This story of a number of people who do like that. Yeah. Because it's consume a lot of energy. Your mind consciousness is spend a lot of energy. So during the day, try to use your store consciousness more. You do it mindfully, slowly, kindly. And then you spend very little energy for your mind. The mind, the store consciousness help you to do mindfully and correctly. So you have to bring your mind consciousness to only recognize you, remind you to be mindful. That's enough. And then the mind consciousness is the one that you need to train. Mind consciousness is like a white horse. You have to tame that horse. If you know how to tame your horse of mind consciousness, and you can, it help you to recognize what on the positive condition of your happiness. And also, mind consciousness know how to handle, to embrace the suffering in order to transform. And sometimes mind consciousness have consciousness in your mind consciousness is entered into your store consciousness. I also, during in my dream, I saw that I walk under the many palm tree where the leaves are so green, and I remember in my dream I'm so happy. I was so happy. I touched every leaf of the palm tree. And so, and in the store consciousness, and during the dream, you also can enjoy a lot. In Germany one day, I have that dream. In Germany or in Australia, I forget. Because at the beginning he said that in Australia, and now he said that in Germany. I also have seen that I see a lot of palm tree, and I, in the dream, I see that I touch every leaf. And so when I wake up, I said that I determined to ask the brother and sister to buy some palm tree for me to plant. Store consciousness. Store. Have two parts. It's just analyzing. And nang tang, it means your subjective part and the objective part. Store is the ability to store. Storage is the ability to store. But in the store consciousness, there is two parts, the subjective part and the objective part. So, store is also the object of storing. Tang is also storing, processing. But tang is also the object to be stored. So they are existing in the same time. And so in the storage there is the two part, objective and subjective. And in the store consciousness, there is an illusion. So sometimes in the The mind consciousness, they embrace the store consciousness, and they consider the store consciousness is their lover. The mind consciousness embrace the store consciousness and consider that store consciousness is its lover. But they have only one part, but they make a big part, make big perception in order to consider this like yours, like them. Manas is a kind of consciousness. Sometimes people say that the kind of ego of us, and yeah. So manas have also their its object, and they base on the store consciousness, but they create a kind of image which is not the store consciousness at all. And that is ego. It means because they, and so they get hold only one part, and they call their own mental construction. Like you fell in love with a man or woman, you can never love the reality of him. You only perceive him or her 10%, 20% is that part, the type, make a man. And you make an image of him, the other part. You see, in the board you can see that. You only see in her or him only that part. But you imagine and you perceive him like that big circle. And then you force, you think that he has like that, or she has like that. But then when you live together and you discover that is only the construction of your, when you marry him and you say that is you exaggerate the image of him. You only in touch with only that part that on the board, you can see that part. Stray, very small, and you only perceive 10%, 20% of him or of her, and you imagine that he is like that, she is like that, and when you live with her a few months, and you say that, oh, it's not that, it's not that, it's not that, because it's your fault. You imagine, you make an illusory perception about him or her. So the store is the victim of the manas, of the ego, of the manas in us. And then it means you crave, it's a kind of craving. Yeah, so your mind consciousness cannot be in touch with the whole store consciousness of him or of her. So you perceive only that part, but you are so sure that is yours, and so this is a wrong illusory perception of that reality. And so the manas always consider the store consciousness like you are my treasure. But the holy person have seen that what you are treasure like that is not a treasure at all. Because you think that, you can have a lot of money, a lot of fame, that is your treasure. But the holy person can see that is not a whole, it's not the treasure at all. So the 34 is in order to make it that you think that is the treasure of your craving is, but the holy person will see that is suffering, it's not treasure at all. Because you have that wrong perception, and so that the perception that you are always the better than the other one, or you have the perception that you are kind of not at that value, underestimate, or you are overestimate yourself or underestimate yourself, low self-esteem. A high self-esteem. Or you think that you are equal. But because you don't have a separate self, so there is nothing equal or high or low. It means you just observe things like that. That things that the other person feel that is a treasure. And because it's a treasure, they crave for that. But holy people will see that no, it's not such things to be crave. And then they said that is the cause of your suffering. Don't run after that. So that is only the behavior of the ngufu. It means innocent people, Chinese people who don't see it, the truth. And because of that Chinese view, that you are pulled by your craving, and then, and you continue to suffer. And Sharna is a very short segment of second. But every Sharna, you are pull, and it's caused you more suffering. So that is just simple craving of your ego, but you are so sure and you stick to that, and the holy person know that is not such a thing, and they will not be pulled by that. So this making of the store of craving, the noble one know to be suffering. This suffering oppresses the foolish without ceasing even for an instant. 35. The mind. Your mind used to compare, to discriminate. In Buddhism, there is a kind of understanding, it's called the wisdom of non-discrimination. The non-discrimination view is help you to eliminate the complex of superiority, of inferiority, of equality too. Like your hand have many, many fingers, that those are long, short, thin, but the this finger have no complex of low self-esteem of the thumb. And the thumb have no high self-esteem to other fingers. And so the fingers, they have no discrimination. They have their own role, and they know that they are one. And that we call a non-discrimination mind. So every fingers have the non-discrimination mind. So if among these five fingers, if there is discrimination, so they cannot work together. Fortunately, the five fingers have non-discrimination, so they can live happily together. And your mind too. If you have your discriminative mind, and then you say that your sister is bad, or your brother is not good, and so because of that you suffer. But if you have no discrimination mind, you accept and you live in harmony with everyone. Yes, my brother is like that because he's, I can accept him as another finger. I'm one another finger, she's another finger. I accept them as they are. So, because of this discrimination that we suffer, because we lack that non-discrimination mind, that we suffer a lot. We always caught by that discrimination, that self. Because you try to compare, and then you have that complex of superiority or the complex of inferiority, and so because of that you suffer. tâm ràng buộc sơn đỏ chấp tiêu mọi niệm đạo. Your mind is caught, is discriminated, and then you have many suffering, and what you wish for. You are caught by your ignorance, and then you have that suffering and that joy, superficial joy or suffering, because of that that discriminative mind. So 36. So the ngu fu, it means not very intelligent one, Chinese people. The ngu fu, the ignorant people, see that is suffering, and then they are grasping on their discrimination way, and like a big elephant who are caught into a trap and cannot get out. So those who have no intelligence, those who are ignorant, get hold of your separate self and are caught by the complex of superiority, inferiority, and quality. It's like a big elephant caught in the shenila. It means kind of mudding way. There's no way to get out. Because of the ignorance of ourselves, and then the ignorance about ourselves, we do not see, we have not have the separate self. We see that we have that big self, very important, big ego, and then because of that you go into a lot of muddy way. If that ego, that self, that ignorant self is growing so much, and they embrace all your mind, your body, your species, and then you behave in a very bad way, who bring a lot of difficulty to you. In the text of explanation, and it said, and in all our action, there is thiang, it means a good action. Ak, it means cruel action. And voki, it means neutral action. And in handang, we also have good action, bad action, and neutral. And the author of these gathas, Asanga, said that han here, action here, is the pursuing, run after the pleasant feeling, run after the pleasures. We are seeking pleasure, run away from your suffering. So action of the ignorant people and conditioned by the ego, the separate self, administrate, and then they only run after suffering. And on this action, there is a good one, the cruel one, this neutral, but they are covering your whole things, and that person is characterized by that result of their action. Amatristi. Ignorance people behave like a big elephant cut into a muddy way. This pond on this lake is received from many, many current, is the storage of all the many current of thought. On these currents, on these streams of action, sometimes they are very powerful. They are even more powerful, more strong than on the stream outside in life. Your current of thought are so powerful. And you create a lot of result of your action in a very terrible way. And if you find happiness in all these craving, and then is the result will be terrible, powerful. There is no sunshine can make it on this pond to be dry, except when you decide to do it by your, if you know how to handle your mindfulness and to dry on this current of powerful current of craving, of suffering, and you continue to suffer and you a lot, but there's no way to make it dry on this current of suffering except your mindfulness. I don't know if it's a happy moment or not.